Because of the Radhashtami schedule tomorrow, this will be our last seminar today. So I have to make sure that the message about the nectar of attachment you truly understand. Remember that the nectar of attachment includes detachment. It's all the same beverage. Attachment to Krishna and detachment from matter. This is always going on. And Kardama Muni, Devahuti, and Lord Kapiladeva are showing this. Even though none of the three have anything to do with the material platform. Kardama Muni and his wife Devahuti are beyond material contamination. And Lord Kapiladeva, of course, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet they're showing you the example, how to be attached and how to be unattached. This lesson is especially important because we have so many problems with both attachment and detachment. Bhakti yoga means there's a time for attachment and there's a time for detachment. Now, how many were here yesterday when we discussed Devahuti's plea, please don't go? How many were not here? Okay. She's begging her husband, Kardama Muni, don't leave now. But actually, her words are of renunciation, and he's going to appreciate that. Remember, she gave him credit for all the things he had done, all the nice home life he gave her with his yogic power. But she said, let me beg for one last thing. Give me the greatest gift of fearlessness. Okay, there are these nine daughters, but they'll leave home when they get married. Who will be there to give me solace? That means who will be there to give me spiritual instruction? And remember, yesterday we discussed the point that the disciple renders service to the guru. The guru is obligated to give spiritual instruction. Everything in bhakti is reciprocation. It's never one-sided. Of course, the gopis in Vrindavan would sometimes accuse Krishna that their relationship is one-sided. But that was simply their talking in ecstatic love. Krishna can never leave Vrindavan, although they accuse him of that. Their love keeps him captured eternally. Between the guru and disciple, there is reciprocation based on love and duty. So it's not that the disciple just gives service, and there's nothing in return. The disciple has a right to expect something in return. That is still pure devotional service. The disciple is not expecting material benefit, but he or she is expecting spiritual instruction. Please remember this point. Because sometimes you may be thinking, I'll do all this service year after year, and then what? So now Devahuti is skillfully presenting herself as a sense gratifier, even though she's not. We discussed how every devotee always, a real devotee always thinks, I have no bhakti. She said, we wasted so much time in sense gratification, we neglected our spiritual life. So now, please give me something for our spiritual life. Don't go yet. And remember the verse from Bhagavatam that we ended yesterday. This is a powerful verse of both attachment and detachment. Not knowing your transcendental situation, I have loved you while remaining attached to the sense objects. Never mind, let the affinity I have developed for you rid me of all fear. We should understand these are actually words of renunciation. Anytime you want a situation for your spiritual development, that is not material attachment. So all the ashrams can learn from Devahuti's presentation. She's telling Kardama Muni, I was with you all this time, but I didn't know your full spiritual glories. Even though I didn't know, still, I got benefit. Now that I know, it's time to get more benefit. Very clever, yes? And she's right. She's actually expressing her gratitude. And we discussed, gratitude is such an important part of spiritual life. In her gratitude, she's wanting to take a greater opportunity for spiritual advancement. Devahuti is teaching all the ashramas how to seize the opportunity. Listen to this last verse of the chapter. Very instructive, because we don't want to waste our life. Our life consists of opportunities. The first opportunity is you have the human body. Of course, if you have a human body that's born in a family of devotees, that is the second great opportunity. The third great opportunity is to have the association of devotees. So Devahuti is lamenting, oh, I missed an opportunity. I was married to the greatest devotee. I didn't even know it. I thought he was just my husband. Now that I know, he can't go. She's a yogini, very intelligent. So she says to her husband, my lord, surely I have been completely cheated by the illusory energy of the Lord. Even though I had your association, which gives freedom from Maya, I did not ask for such freedom. I've been cheated by Maya. We don't want, of course, this is not the case. She's speaking like this out of humility. Also, she's the daughter of a Kshatriya, a king, so she knows how to manipulate sincerely. So just think, are we wasting opportunities? Make a list of all the reasons why you're delaying your bhakti. Make a list of what you think is more important than your bhakti development. In the fourth canto of Bhagavatam, it is stated that there's no greater mistake in life than to make something a higher priority than your spiritual development. Please think about that. No greater mistake in life. So Devahuti is presenting herself like she made that mistake. In this way, she's teaching all the ashramas how to seize the opportunity, how to be greedy to grab the opportunity. We spoke about this topic some years ago here, the cost of bhakti. You have to be eager. I've been cheated by the illusory energy. Do you actually realize that Maya cheats, or you think, oh, Maya is not so bad? What do you think? Do you realize you're living in an atmosphere that's meant to cheat you? Sounds severe, doesn't it? It can't be that bad. To think that you... No one likes to deal with a cheater. We have any business persons here? Yes. It's very bad dealing with cheaters, yes? Or shall we say business means cheating? In any case, there are big cheaters and small cheaters. We hate to deal with the big cheaters, and we excuse ourselves as being small cheaters. If you don't like being cheated, then how can you feel comfortable with Maya? So Devahuti has spoken these words, please don't go. My instruction from you hasn't really begun yet. Kardama Muni was very pleased. He thought he was going to say, why are you bothering me? I do whatever I want to do. Don't try to stop me. I already gave you 9 children. What more do you want out of me? Goodbye. No, he's actually very pleased. He recognized she's speaking words of renunciation. This is something all the ashramas should realize when reading this part of Bhagavatam. She is wanting spiritual opportunity purely, and she's seizing that opportunity. In this case, the opportunity is in the form of her husband, but that same principle can apply to other situations. Let us look at our life and see all the opportunities we have for advancing in bhakti. Let us look and see, are we wasting any opportunities? Often when devotees depart from this world, you realize, oh, I didn't fully appreciate that devotee. I missed the association with that devotee. Has it ever happened to anyone here? Yeah. After someone's departure, oh, why didn't I get more of that devotee's association? Yeah. So these are the lessons that all ashramas can learn from this situation in the Bhagavatam. Kardama Muni tells Devahuti, do not be disappointed with yourself, O princess. You are actually praiseworthy. Very soon, the Supreme Personality of Godhead will become your son. He'll cut off the knot in your heart by teaching you knowledge of the spiritual reality. He'll be worshipped by you, and he'll spread my name and fame. So Kardama Muni is the perfection of being responsible. Some devotees here were thinking maybe he's being irresponsible, abandoning his home. But he's advanced enough to bring the Supreme Personality of Godhead into his home as his son. He's the most responsible. So Devahuti is carrying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Meanwhile, Lord Brahma comes to congratulate his son, Kardama Muni. Brahma is Kardama Muni's father, and he's also Kardama Muni's guru. My dear son Kardama, you have completely accepted my instructions without duplicity. You've showed my instructions proper respect. Whatever instructions you got from me, you carried out, and in this way, you have honored me. Srila Prabhupada points out, this is the way to serve the guru, to carry out the orders of the guru completely and with no cheating. In other words, to honor the guru means to carry out his instructions. So once again, you see, Kardama Muni is not irresponsible. His father, his guru, approves of his behavior. What about Kardama Muni's 9 daughters? Brahma had a plan for them. These 9 daughters are so qualified, they should marry sages. And in this way, the world will benefit from high quality population. Remember what we discussed the first day? The real problem in the world is not overpopulation, it's bad quality population. A bad quality population can't manage. So we discussed whenever devotees would bring up to Srila Prabhupada the so-called overpopulation problem, he would say it's a management problem. They can't manage, but they call it overpopulation. I'm just looking at a very, very strong statement in this purport. Should I read it to you, or you might think it's too much? You won't misunderstand. He says, the children produced in the modern age are not exactly human beings. Ooh. A child that's really a human being is born in the proper way. He writes, according to the Vedic system of marriage for producing children, every man and woman was enlightened in spiritual knowledge, and at the time of their combination, they produced the child in a way that everything was scrutinizingly and scientifically done. Lord Kapiladeva will appear as Devahuti's son, and Kardama Muni told her, your son will uproot the deep-rooted desire for fruitive activity in the whole world. Lord Kapiladeva would teach the science of Sankhya Yoga, analyzing material existence and getting to the root of it. And then Lord Kapiladeva will also leave home. But what's happening with Kardama Muni? Let's find out. He says to Lord Kapiladeva, now I think it's appropriate that I can leave home. He asks permission of Lord Kapiladeva, his son. And Lord Kapiladeva gives him reassurance. Don't worry about your mother. Excuse me, don't worry about your wife. I will instruct her so that she will attain perfection, so that she will become free from all material fear. So Kardama Muni was sensitive. All right, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to leave home. What about Devahuti? And Lord Kapiladeva responded saying, don't worry, I'll take care of that. I will teach her. I will give her freedom from fear. I'll do that for my mother. So you see, devotees are responsible about all their relationships. So Kardama Muni circumambulated Lord Kapiladeva and then left for the forest. Remember, Kardama Muni had said he would do this before. He told Devahuti, he told her father, Swayambhuva Manu, he was going to do this. And everyone accepts that this is proper behavior. So you shouldn't accuse Kardama Muni of being cruel. Because he's showing you that detachment and attachment are part of the same spiritual reality. Many of you know about Lord Kapiladeva's instructions to Devahuti. Many of you have studied those words. She told her son, you are my transcendental eye, which I have attained after many births. You will cut the knot of ignorance in my heart. You will take me to the other side, past the river of repeated birth and death. So many chapters are there in the Bhagavatam of Lord Kapiladeva instructing his mother, Devahuti. You know that picture of Devahuti sitting on the floor and Lord Kapiladeva sitting on an asana and instructing her? Who has seen that picture? My mother also saw this picture. So I went to visit her once every year. I told you how she complains. Why are you always talking to people in Ukraine and Russia? I don't even know where that is. You never come home. This is the way mothers are. So once I went to visit her, and she brought me into the living room. She sat me on the couch, and then she sat on the floor in front of me. Is this how you do it? She said, is this how I get instruction? She had seen that picture. She didn't know anything about Vedic culture, but just by seeing the picture, and then she read the description of the picture, that this was Lord Kapiladev teaching his mother. So she thought, if she takes that position of receiving instruction, then I'll stay at home. Ladies are clever. But sannyasis are also clever. So I gave her the instruction, and I left home. Lord Kapiladev will reach the point in his instruction to Devahuti in which he feels his mission is complete. His mother thanks him. I understand. Now I am free from all fear. Once again, you see the reciprocation that is always there in spiritual life? She thanks him. You have done your responsibility very wonderfully. Lord Kapiladev was satisfied by the words of his mother and spoke to her with great affection, at the same time with gravity. Sometimes devotees think that it's impossible to speak with affection if you're speaking gravely. But in a spiritual relationship between guru and disciple, you can see that. Gravity combined with affection. The relationship between guru and disciple is a reciprocal relationship. And each person in the relationship is happy to reciprocate. It's like I am very indebted because of my translator. He comes all the way from Perm. Somehow or other, he tolerates me. No, he's doing very hard service. And his health is not good now. So when you see him, his name is Prema Vardhana, if you don't know. When you see him, please thank him.
Translate.
Did he say the right thing? Okay. How many days on the train from Perm?
2 days.
2 days on the train from Perm. But there are some people here who spent 4 days on the train from Krasnoyarsk in Siberia. How many days on the train from Omsk? Three. Okay. So Siberia is the... Eastern Siberia is Krasnoyarsk? Eastern Siberia?
Eastern.
So that 4 days to come to this festival. Devotees are showing in this way they know how to seize the opportunity. Devahuti has thanked her son, Kapiladev. And now we'll hear Lord Kapiladev's affectionate and grave reply. I don't think some of you are going to agree with his reply. I'll tell you. You may externally say, yes, yes. But inside, you're going to be thinking, I don't know about this. Let us hear the words of Lord Kapiladev. My dear mother, the path of self-realization, which I have instructed you, is very easy. How many of you think bhakti is easy? Raise your hand. Is he? I told you, you wouldn't agree. No one raised their hand in case you didn't know. Why is Lord Kapiladev speaking in this way? And not one devotee in this room agrees with him? I agree. Because I know what the source of the problem is. The path of bhakti is easy, but we make it difficult. Because we don't know how to handle attachments and detachments. Kali Yuga means some intense attachments for some very gross things. That's why Srila Prabhupada stressed the regular principles. In other yugas, this is no big thing. to follow the four rules. But in Kali Yuga, it's a big thing. It's a big sacrifice. Because of our attachment to Kali Yuga activities, we think that bhakti is difficult. And we think there's no time for bhakti. No time for chanting Hare Krishna. No energy to learn how to control our senses. But make an experiment, please. Try to look at the situation from Lord Kapiladev's point of view. Why does he say it's easy? We should try to find out. We should make it our priority to find out why the Lord says his process is easy. Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says, Sasukam Kartam Avyam. This process is joyfully performed. So what's the problem then? Our attachments and detachments. We don't know how to have attachments and detachments in the right way. Therefore, it's very important for us to understand the nectar of attachment. Kartama Muni has just shown you part of that nectar. He's left home. Now Lord Kapiladev is about to leave home. This is all part of the same package. Coming together and separating. Can you see that? You can't divide them into different departments. In bhakti, there's a way to come together and there's a way to separate. A time to come together, a time to separate. Yeah. Both the attachments and the detachments are conducted in a way for Krishna's pleasure. Lord Kapiladev says, what I've instructed you is very easy and you can execute it without any difficulty. So this is the end of his instruction to his beloved mother. This is the greatest love, giving spiritual instruction to save someone from Maya. In material existence, people think the greatest love is shown by a big embrace. But here you're seeing the greatest love is shown by spiritual instruction. Lord Kapiladev, after instructing his beloved mother, took permission from her and left his home. He asked her permission. And she agreed, your mission is fulfilled. Very beautiful. The nectar of attachment and detachment. Now you might say, why did Kartama Muni, the father, leave home when he had the Supreme Personality of Godhead as his son? He's doing that to show you that even if God is born in your family, you still follow the Vedic injunctions. And why is Lord Kapiladev leaving home for self-realization? He's the Supreme Self. Why should he leave home to realize the Supreme? He's also setting the example. Lord Kapiladev is showing God himself is leaving home to realize God. In other words, Lord Kapiladev is saying, if I can do this, so can you. Because there's no need for the Lord to do anything. What does he say in Bhagavad Gita? Namam karmani limpante. Nam espya palespya. I have nothing to gain in this world. I have nothing to achieve. But he's just showing example. How to be attached and how to be detached. His mother was beloved. He spoke to her with affection. But still he left. Now what do we think? If you speak with affection and love, why should you go? It seems contradictory, doesn't it? Affection and love means you stay. But the nectar of spiritual attachment means you understand. Part of attachment is detachment. It's all the same sweet beverage. I know, it's a little hard for us to see that. How there can be such intense affection and emotion, even in separation. You're thinking, if they love each other so much, father, mother, and son, husband and wife, they should just stay together. It's a mystery, isn't it? The husband has left home. Now the son is leaving home. So what does Devahuti do? She begins to follow her son's instructions and practice bhakti yoga. She's at that ashram of her husband. She could enjoy the greatest opulence from his mystic power, and she could also appreciate the austerity. She was well-trained by Kartama Muni, therefore she could handle anything. The greatest opulence beyond our imagination, and also the simplest life of living in the forest. She had opulence that was envied by the ladies of the heavenly planets. But she gave it all up. What was her only anxiety? My son, where is he? So you may say, if she so easily gave up material comforts, why was she sorry about losing her son? This shows material attachment. You could be thinking that. She expertly gave up the greatest mystical opulences. Yet, although she's living so austerely, she's grieving for her son. But this is not material attachment. Her son is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So she has a right to be attached because her son is the goal of the yoga system. We are not against attachment. Bhakti yoga means knowing how to be attached in the right way. Let's listen to the Bhagavatam. Devahuti's husband had already left home and accepted the renounced order of life. And now her only son, Kapila, left home. Although Devahuti knew all the truths of life and death, and although her heart was cleansed of all dirt, she was very aggrieved at the loss of her son, just as a cow is affected when the calf dies. So she was always crying at home, please bring my son, please bring my son. If you don't bring my son, I'll die. So what do you say? Does this sound like detachment? Please bring my son, please bring my son, otherwise I'll die without my son. She would cry this to her friends and relatives. Does this sound like an austere yogi? Yes. This is bhakti yoga. She's crying out in separation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just by meditating on her son, she was easily able to give up all attachments for her home and paraphernalia. Just by meditating on her son, she's able to free herself from any entanglements. Gradually, she even forgot about her body. Just like when you're asleep at night, you forget all about your gross body. Another example given in the Bhagavatam is that a drunk person, because of the intoxication, forgets all about the body. So Devahuti entered into an eternal trance. She forgot completely about her material body. A body that when she was young and unmarried was so beautiful that residents of the heavenly planets would fall out of their airplanes when they saw her. Have the men seen such beauty in this world? You wouldn't even fall out of your chair. To speak of fall out of an airplane. In Kali Yuga, everything is very reduced. Beauty, strength, natural resources. But the same Devahuti who could cause heavenly planets men to fall out of their airplanes when they saw her, she forgot all about her body. She achieved the Supreme Personality of Godhead without difficulty. She very soon became liberated. And the place where she had her spiritual practice is understood to be a most sacred place. The Bhagavatam says, it is known all over the three worlds as Siddhapada. The Bhagavatam glorifies any devotee, male, female, young, old, even animals like Gajendra the elephant. So the place where Devahuti did her sadhana, her meditation, that is now considered a very sacred place. And listen to what happened to the material elements of her body. They melted into the water and are now a flowing river, which is a most sacred river. That beautiful material body is gone. But the spiritual reality is even more beautiful. What's happening with Lord Kapila Dev? He's left home. He first went north to the Himalayas, and then he went to the origin of the Ganga and he walked down following the path of the Ganga. In other words, he followed the Ganga from the Himalayas all the way down to the Bay of Bengal. And that's where he is even today. He has an ashram at Ganga Sagar, where the Ganga meets with the ocean. He's still there even today. And what is he doing? He is in trance, meditating on the deliverance of all the conditioned souls. Not only in this world, but all the three worlds. This history of Kardamumuni, Devahuti, and Lord Kapila Dev ends with a benediction. He because their activities, the Bhagavatam says, are the purest of all pure discourses. You might say, how could it be the purest of the pure? It's all about family life, persons coming together and separating. The brahmacharis may be thinking, why should we listen to this part of Bhagavatam? Every word of Bhagavatam is saturated with Krishna prema, Sanatana Goswami says. There's renunciation even in this part of the Bhagavatam. Renunciation in bhakti is full of emotion, full of heart. We think that you should have your heart invested when there is attachment, but not detachment. But what we're hearing about is detachment with a full heart, because it's done for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of God. Remember Lord Kapiladev thanking his mother with affection and gravity, but he's still gone. This is hard for us to understand, isn't it? How, if you have affection, how can you go? But that is part of the nectar of attachment. And remember, the real affection is coming through the spiritual instruction. Devahuti has no complaints. She's thankful. She understands the system. There's a time to come together and a time to separate, all for Krishna's pleasure. What other benediction do we hear at the end of the Bhagavatam, section of Bhagavatam? The description of the dealings of Kapiladev and his mother, the description of the dealings of Kapiladev and his mother is very confidential. And anyone who hears or reads this narration becomes a devotee. And anyone who hears or reads this narration enters into the abode of the Lord to engage in his transcendental loving service. So even if you just hear this description, if you just read it, eventually you will go back to God. Of course, we want this sooner than later. So please think about the nectar of attachment. I hope that you have drunk deeply of this nectar. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.